The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you were looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one that he sent. Now, how do you do that? You do that by trusting to the point of abandonment in all the details of life. I think I've told you before, one of my heroes is Father Walter Chizik. His cause is open for canonization. He's a Jesuit priest born in Pennsylvania, died in 1984, author of two fantastic books, With God in Russia and He Leadeth Me, highly recommended. Okay, Father Chizik, probably told you part of the story before, but he lived most of his life in the Soviet Union. When he was a young man, he dreamed great dreams, and he was going to become a missionary inside the cold, atheistic Soviet Union. And so he studied Russian, and he learned everything. He became ordained a priest, and he entered into the Soviet Union, and suddenly everything began to go precisely the opposite of how he had imagined. Within a matter of just a few days, he was captured, accused of being a spy, and sentenced to 15 years hard labor in a Siberian prison. And there he was, splitting logs in the winter in Siberia, wondering why God had abandoned him. And he said, "I lost all hope. And the only thing I knew was my own weakness." That's what he said. And he says, "Then I began to pray. And as I prayed, I began to realize that God had never abandoned me, but rather that he wanted to transform me by bringing me to this place." And he began to think about Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and especially these words, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And he began to realize that the whole of his belief in our Lord was beginning to say those words in every circumstance of life, no matter how things might appear, to say yes to what God had placed in his life. Now, I've mentioned this before, that our Lord will look over your whole life, find the places where you're not trusting him, and then he'll let life agitate you in those places. Right? He's going to let life agitate because he wants you to surrender to him completely. So hear this gospel now. Here's the gospel of John chapter 6. It's the bread of life discourse. The whole thing's about the Eucharist. You know, this gospel I just read is the only time in the whole gospels where Jesus rebukes anybody for following him. It's the only time in which he rebukes somebody for following him. And you know what he rebukes? He rebukes their impure motives. They're following him because they think he's going to be a mighty king and a great wonder worker and a messiah of worldly definition. And he can't give them the Eucharist if that's what they're thinking, because believe me, the Eucharist is nothing visibly spectacular. So he has to rebuke them. And he begins to tell them that things will not be as they appear. He will be a Messiah who, as I said, he reigns from the cross. Doesn't look very much like a royal throne. Who hides his divinity under the appearance of his humanity. And of course, who hides his real presence under the appearance of the Blessed Sacrament. They need to learn to see those things, and we need to learn to see them as well. You know, the great Swiss psychiatrist, Carl Gustav Jung, who I am not accustomed to quoting from the pulpit, but he has a fantastic quote. He once said, "Most people never find God because they don't look low enough." I'm telling you, that could have been said by St. Therese the Little Flower or Jose Maria Escriva. Most people never find God because they don't look low enough. You want to do the work of God? You want to believe in the one he sent? Learn to see the Lord in the 45-minute traffic jam or in the 2-hour flight delay. Learn to see the hand of God's providence in the irritating coworker or the annoying person in the supermarket. Learn to see the hand of God in the burdensome mortgage or in the lost wallet. Learn to see the hand of God in the sniffles. Learn to see the hand of God in all things. Listen, these people here in the gospel, they traveled all the way around to the Sea of Galilee, and Father Chizik, he traveled all the way to Russia to learn this lesson. Our Lord doesn't want you to travel anywhere. He wants you to learn it right here. Learn to see with the eyes of heaven and not with the eyes of earth. Learn to see with the eyes of faith and to act on it. That's what it means to believe in the one he has sent and to accomplish the works of God. Amen.